Sunday morning, and for quite a number of weeks, our journey has began at verse 12. And to me, it's been quite a revelation how, starting from a verse like this, we've been able to take several journeys into other parts of our Bible. And what's amazed me particularly is how often we've gone from verse 12 to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. We've gone into the first chapter of Ephesians. Last Sunday, we were in the second chapter of Ephesians. And it seems to me there's a very close relationship between Ephesians and this particular verse in Psalm 33. And I do think that it's possible that the Apostle Paul very deliberately styles Ephesians on this psalm. You know how chapter one begins, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," echoing this idea of blessedness that you find here in this verse. So I don't think that journey is complete, but what I want to show you today is that we can go from Psalm 33 and we can take another journey to John's Gospel. And I want to do that with you by looking at verse 11 of this particular psalm. So what I'll do is we'll put verse 11 into context, and we'll read from verse 6. So let's turn to Psalm 33 then. And verse 6 is where we'll pick up the psalm, and we'll read down as far as verse 15. As we make our way through these verses, bring your attention to verse 11. So Psalm 33, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven, and he sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually, and he considers all their works." Let's come back to verse 11, and we'll change one word in verse 11, the word plans. We'll change that, and it's the word intentions. So verse 11 then, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the intentions of his heart to all generations." And as you can see from the notice sheet today, we're going to focus this morning on the heart of God. Because what verse 11 does is celebrates the heart of God. And it describes to us how the heart of God is the source of God's plans and of his wisdom and of his rule. And the link here to John's Gospel is quite simple. John's Gospel is a celebration of the heart of God. So beginning here, we're going to go into John's Gospel and we're going to focus together on the heart of God. And then we'll come to take communion to celebrate his son, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us. So let's ask God to bless his word to each of us. So I want to start like this. In Psalm 33, we have this idea of God opposed or in opposition to or in contrast with the leaders of the nations. And I guess at this particular time, you and I are going to be thinking about the leaders in our world today. We'll think about Vladimir Putin, maybe. We'll think about Donald Trump, perhaps. Our own prime minister, maybe. Other presidents, other kings throughout the world. And what you have in Psalm 33 is, on the one hand, you have God, you have his plans and his heart. And then on the other hand, you have the leaders of the world. You have their plans. And the psalmist sets up for you a contrast between God and these leaders. And as you look down the psalm, you can see what that contrast looks like. Over here, then, let's imagine we've got all the leaders of the world. And you have their councils. That's the idea of their governments, what they want to do in government. You have their armies. You have their might. And you have their power. You have their strength. You have their resources. You see all that laid out for you in Psalm 33. We didn't read it, but you could take a look right now at verse 16 and 17. And here we have all the great powers of the world. And then on this side, if you like, on the other hand, there is God. And there are God's plans and God's purposes. And overruling everything, overseeing everything, is the heart of God. And as you look at verse 11, the psalmist puts these two things together. He talks about the intentions of God's heart and how what God intends shapes and forms God's plans. Do you see that in verse 11? So it says, the counsels of the Lord, the plans of the Lord stands forever, the intentions of his heart to all generations. So let me make the first thing very clear, if I can, this morning. What our psalmist is rejoicing in is the idea that God rules over the world with a heart of love. In contrast, then, to the kings and the leaders of the world, whose motivation is not love for men and women, but might and power and reputation, here is our God, who is ruling over the world, overseeing the nations of the world, looking at every human being in the world, and God is doing so with a heart of love. And his love shapes and determines the plans that God has. Now, I hope that's clear to each of us. And it's a thing that the psalmist is rejoicing in throughout the whole psalm. So he says that God loves righteousness and justice. He tells us that God's grace and his goodness will fill the world. This is the idea. Now, what I want you to see as we look at this morning is verse 11 stands not only in contrast to the presidents and the kings of the world, but it's linked very clearly to another verse. And that verse is in the book of Genesis. And it's almost as if the connection between these two verses is absolutely fundamental. And what connects the two verses is the word intentions. So in Psalm 33, verse 11, the intentions of God's heart is for all the people. This idea of God's heart filled with desires and compassion and mercy towards men and women. Now, if you do have your Bible there, if you don't, it doesn't matter. But if you do, turn to Genesis and chapter 6. And here's the verse that text is linked to. In Genesis and chapter 6, you have this verse here. We are talking about the days just before Noah. And this is what our writer tells us. Verse 5. The Lord saw the wickedness of man, which was great in the youth. And here it is, that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So do you see the connection then? Men and women, the intentions of our hearts are evil continually. And then you have God, whose heart is filled with intentions that are loving and merciful and compassionate and gracious. So not only does God stand in contrast to the leaders of the world, God stands in contrast to men and women and what's in our hearts compared to what's in God's heart. In our heart, there are these intentions, desires that are sinful, but in God's heart, there is grace and mercy and compassion. So what have we learned about this God over recent weeks? Can you think back to last Sunday? Last Sunday, we learned that God is rich in mercy. We learned that God is so great in love, the love with which he loved us. We learned last Sunday, do you remember, that God, out of his mercy and his love, he has made us alive. He has given us the new birth. He has made us new creatures. So this is what we are learning about God. And we're going to add to that the idea this morning that it's the heart of God that rules over the world in which we live. It's the heart of God that he sets upon his people. And it's the heart of God that has been revealed to us in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. So to pursue that further, then let's turn to John's gospel, shall we? And we're going to start in the place that you would expect me to, in John chapter 3 and in verse 16. You all know this verse, and this verse is a celebration of the love that God has for the world. Now, that idea is in Psalm 33, and here we have it in John's Gospel. For God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, when we look at this verse, and we've done it so many times, you've heard so many sermons on this verse. What we often fail to do is to celebrate the fact that this verse declares the love that God has for the world that he has made, for the men and women whom he looks down from on high, for the hearts of men and women that he sees as he regards them from his dwelling place. This is an unequivocal, clear statement that God loves the world, that his heart is open to and filled with love for the world. And if you couple this now with the psalm that we've just read, the heart of God, filled with intentions of mercy and grace, rule the world, oversees the nations of the world, and this love that God has for the world endures for all generations. It is that which continually beats in the heart of God. It's a celebration of his love. And we're going to see in a few moments how that love is expressed. But I don't want any of you losing sight of the vastness, the immensity, and the glory of God's love for the world, and how God oversees and determines and plans the history of the world as a result of loving the world. God's love for the world means that he opposes evil rulers. God's love for the world means that he sets himself against evil kings and evil presidents. That God, in his love for the world, will destroy the leaders of wickedness, those who oppress their people, those who bring wars and terror to the world. God loves the world to all generations. And so he works his plans, his counsels, his will, because of his love for the world in which we live. Now, I think we need to capture that. We need to emphasize this. We need to be encouraged by it. We need to be comforted that the God who rules the world, the God who sits above, if you like, the circle of the world, is a God of love. And this God of love who sees and hears the plans in the hearts of the leaders that we have at this current time. This is a God of love, and he works his intentions out. So John here, John 3:16, celebrates that, this love for the world. Then, of course, what John goes on to do is he discusses in his gospel God's special, unique love for his own people. And as I've thought about this over these last few weeks, I've been drawn back to John's gospel, and I've said, well, where are the texts that tell us about God's love for his people? And what you'll find is that God's love for us is always expressed in the person of his son. So what I want to do is this. I want to talk to you about how Jesus is the heart of God revealed, and then we'll see how his love for us, you and I, is celebrated in this gospel. So turn to chapter 1 and the very last verse that we read there in the introduction. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of his Father, he has declared him. And I want you to think of it like this. Jesus Christ is the heart of God made flesh. You've heard this thought before, haven't you? Jesus Christ comes from the very heart of God. He comes to make that heart visible to you and me. So the person of Jesus clothes the heart of God in flesh and bone and blood and voice and face and action and everything that you associate with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the walking, talking heart of God on display for all of us to see. So that when you look at Jesus, you are seeing what you could not see otherwise. You are seeing God's heart on display for you. And whichever point in the life of Jesus you look at, you will see the heart of God. So if you want to look at him in Bethlehem as a little baby, you see the heart of God displayed for you in terms of weakness and vulnerability and innocence. If you want to see Jesus outside of the tomb of Lazarus, when you see Jesus weeping, there's the heart of God on display for you. That heart of God that weeps over our grief, our loss, our sorrow. Can you see when you look at Jesus, you see what God's heart looks like? And it's him in the boat, it's him in the Sermon on the Mount, it's him feeding the hungry. At any point, at any stage, looking at Christ, there is the beating heart of God. And if you come to the cross, you'll see the heart of God on display to all of you. You'll see how God's heart is embracing through his Son, Jesus Christ, your sin. You'll see how God's heart is punishing his Son for sin that is not his, but ours. You'll see the heart of God broken in the person of his Son when he is on the cross. This is the heart of God. And we're going to sing after this sermon a hymn that says, Jesus is the heart of God revealed to you. And that's what you're celebrating here in John chapter 1 and verse 18. And that's what I'm emphasizing today. The God who loves the world, who oversees the nations, who opposes the wicked rulers of the world, this God who is from generation to generation, this God, his love for the world is expressed, is made flesh and blood in the person of Jesus Christ. And so the de great demonstration, the great, if you like, living proof of God's love for the world in which we live, for you and I as people, is in the person of Jesus. And it's his death, it's his resurrection, it's his ascension back to heaven that is this huge statement of the nature, the extent, the depth, the reality of God's love for men and women, for his people, and for the world. So with that idea then, turn to John, if you will, in chapter 15. And in chapter 15, there's a verse here that I think helps us to get a sense of how God's heart is filled with love for you and I, for his people. What's that love like? What can we say about it? John 15 and verse 9. Jesus says there, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. And then his advice or his command, abide in my love. That statement then, as the Father loves me, so have I loved you. And that verse was one of the texts that I had to preach on when I was at theological college. And it's a verse that since then has always meant a great deal to me. It's a verse that I've tried to draw your attention to on many occasions, because this verse is one that invites you to do some reflection. It's a verse that is called a comparator. As, so do I. As the Father loves me, in the same way that he loves me, I love you. So what we are meant to do with a verse like this is to say, well, how does God love his Son? What's his love like? Do you notice that the verse doesn't spell that out for you? The verse is encouraging you to think about that for yourself. And to say, okay, how does God the Father love his Son? What's that love like? How can we describe it? What words can we find to express the love that God the Father has for his Son? Well, I've got three words that I always use when I come to this verse. And the first is that God loves his Son infinitely. There is no beginning, there is no end. It's an infinite love. And then I would say that it's a love that's unchangeable. The love that the Father has for his Son doesn't alter in any way, doesn't weaken at all, doesn't wax or wane. It's this constant heart of love for his son. And then I would say to you, it's unconditional. His love for his son doesn't come with strings attached. It is a love that flows freely from the heart of God the Father. Infinite, unchangeable, unconditional. So if we can say that about the way that the Father loves the Son, hear what Jesus says. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you in the same way, with the same love. So we say the love that Jesus Christ has for us is infinite, it's unchangeable, it's unconditional. This is his love for you and for me. And if Jesus is the very heart of God made flesh and blood, if he's God's heart on display for all to see, then if he loves us like that, so does God the Father love us like that. So John's Gospel is a celebration of the infinite, unchangeable, unconditional love of God for his people as we see it in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. So, yes, God, his heart is filled with love for the world. He oversees the world with a heart of love. He directs the nations with a heart of love. God guides history, God's counsel and will and plans for the world in which we live flow from a heart of love. Absolutely. And I'm very encouraged today that God, in his love for the world, sets himself up in opposition to Putin and Trump and every other leader who's in this world of ours at this time, with their armies and their might and their strength and their power, their plans, their counsel. Our God is in opposition to all that because he's a God of love and he loves the world. And God has expressed that love in the person of his Son, so that anyone in the world, whoever in the world, believes in this Son shall have everlasting life. The giving of Christ to the world brings this great message of love that whoever believes in him. Now, you know as well as I do that in John's Gospel, there's this dark undertone. You see it in the first chapter. This dark idea that men and women won't believe, that they won't come to Christ, that they resist and refuse this great expression of God's love in the person of Jesus. There's a resistance, there's an unwillingness, there's a refusal to come to Jesus Christ, to believe in him, even though he is the heart of God revealed. And that's the tragedy, isn't it, of human experience. The love of God clearly on display, expressed completely in Jesus Christ, and yet men and women's refusal, utter unwillingness to come and believe in Christ. So, this heart of God, this love that God has, he draws men and women to Jesus Christ by his love, his mercy, his grace, by his Spirit. He brings men and women to Jesus Christ. We thought about this a few weeks ago. He gives them new natures, and from that new nature flows faith in Jesus Christ. And that's then where we begin to learn of an infinite love, an unconditional love, and an unchangeable love from God to us through his Son. So can you celebrate this morning then the fact that God in Jesus Christ loves you infinitely, he loves you unconditionally, and he loves you unchangeably? That's the nature of his love. And that's why, to come back and to finish with Psalm 33, we can say, blessed are the people whose God is the Lord, because this God loves us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, let's pray, shall we?